classrooms look virtually the same as they did in 1900. And we know so much more now about learning styles and, and the needs of the world, as you said, are completely different. We need to be training students for jobs that do not yet exist. We need to be training them to have businesses that solve problems and just be working on our world's greatest challenges. And so back when the school system was created, we specifically put kids in metal desks under fluorescent lighting for 8 hours a day with a bell that rings every 42 minutes, because we knew that if they could survive that environment and if we could train them how not to be thinkers, critical thinkers, how not to be innovators, how to be rule followers, if they would survive that environment, they would do well in the factories.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So if there's one good thing that's come out of this pandemic, and I'm sure there's more than one, it's that we are seeing in obvious color and light those elements of our society that are broken. No longer can we sweep things under the rug because the rug has been pulled out from under us. Notwithstanding all of the conversations we are having within our society, there is one area, in particular as a parent with kids heading back to school, that is evident to me requires a new lens, requires a new opportunity to come out fresh. And that's our education system. Not a small undertaking, to say the least. The days of kids going to school from 9 to 3 dates back to the Industrial Revolution. It dates back to a time where one parent most definitely was staying home to care for those kids. As we are all looking at how we balance our capacity for contribution, the best possible education we can deliver, it is only obvious to me and so many others that this is a system ripe for disruption and one that requires a new lens. My guest today, Heidi Decoe, is doing exactly that. She is not an educator by background, but in fact an entrepreneur, having exited a series of different companies and still continuing to work with businesses in a strategic role. When I first met Heidi, she shared with me some of the things that she is working on, but she asked then in return if she could share with me the thing she's most passionate about, her vision for how she wants to change the world, and it's through education. Heidi has a vision for education and schools from the mindset of an entrepreneur, looking at the outcome that we all wish we could have started our entrepreneurial journey from. It looks at how we view the world racially. It looks at how we view the world financially. It looks at how we view the world from a perspective of health and relationships. It is a conscious undertaking that Heidi is looking at, and it is a brilliant and well thought out revision of what school could become. As we all are looking to a new school year and what for us as adults is the adult new year, think of this as a tremendous opportunity to try something new on for size. I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest, Heidi Decoe, today. She is going to rock your world and disrupt your vision for what education could be. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Heidi.
Heidi Decoe, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, this is a conversation I was just saying before we jumped on that I'm really looking forward to having. And a few weeks ago, we're in the pandemic right now. I've been home for 6 months with 3 kids, trying to run my business. And what I think has happened with this pandemic in general is all the brokenness that we have in our world and our society is like, I have nowhere to hide. I'm bubbling to the surface. And so we have all these symptoms that have happened in 2020. And one of the pieces that I'm really most passionate about, because I hear and have conversations and feel it every day, is the pressure that women are feeling to care for families, to care for societies, to hold it all together throughout this time. And I came across an article in a Canadian newspaper that was citing a 30-year low in terms of female employment. And this was not because women can't keep their jobs. It was really because we can't keep society together unless women were stepping out of the workforce. And part of that, as we move forward, was looking at, well, how is this going to change when school starts? How is it that I'm going to be able to effectively engage with my kids and with my business and with my capacity for contribution when the kids are in school from 9 to 3? And right now what they're proposing is 2 to 10. It's again going to fall on the plates of women. And so I had a conversation, I did a podcast around this. And then what I really wanted to start to unpack is, what if we blank slated education? What if we stopped looking at a model that is antiquated, that was created in the 30s or probably before? You're going to educate me on this piece. That was really came about a time where one parent, let's be honest, was women were staying home or we needed extra hands on the farm. The pressures that informed that model are not the pressures we have today. So if we're building out a new model of education for this new world that is to provide equal opportunity to everyone, what would that look like? Including how do we make it better, obviously, for kids? So that was what I wanted to explore and unpack because I don't have the answers for that. And I was like, who's the right person? And you were naturally the woman who came to mind. So with that said, Heidi, I would love for you to share with my listeners who you are, what you are up to, and why you are the perfect person to talk to for this subject.
I'm thrilled to talk about this. I could talk about it for hours on end, and everything you said is exactly accurate. And I've read a similar statistic in other publications. So I am a serial entrepreneur, have had a number of businesses that I've built up and sold, and have now started this nonprofit organization to revolutionize public school in America and eventually worldwide. And that's exactly what we're doing, is we're blank slating it. The current model was built during the Industrial Revolution in order to create great factory workers, because that's what we needed at that time. And if we were to pull up from the grave the people that created that system and interview them today, my guess is they would say, they would be appalled at the fact that we have that system in place today. Because they created it for a very specific purpose. It fulfilled that purpose, and then it has had very few iterations since then. And classrooms look virtually the same as they did in 1900. And we know so much more now about learning styles and, and the needs of the world, as you said, are completely different. We need to be training students for jobs that do not yet exist. We need to be training them to have businesses that solve problems and just be working on our world's greatest challenges. And so back when the school system was created, we specifically put kids in metal desks under fluorescent lighting for 8 hours a day with a bell that rings every 42 minutes, because we knew that if they could survive that environment and if we could train them how not to be thinkers, critical thinkers, how not to be innovators, how to be rule followers, if they would survive that environment, they would do well in the factories. And the goal was, let's try to graduate at least 65%, which we did. We would graduate 65, 70% minimum. And so it was a very successful model for the reason that it was created. And then the world since 1900 has changed.
Really?
30,000 million times over again. We have completely different needs. And yet we're still educating very much in the same way. The only reason that we gave summers off is because the families needed students to come back and work on the farms during the summers. And, virtually every study that's been done on this shows that students taking summers off is extremely detrimental to everyone, to the student, to the parents, to the income of the household, especially to holding back women in their careers. I mean, there's just this litany of problems that come from that, but yet we still do it,
right?
Because it's how it's always been done.
And we have this thing that, like, if kids don't have their summers, then they don't get all of these experiences. And if kids don't get, I feel like we can do the yeah but every day on all of these, yeah, on all of these elements, which must drive you crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to share how we first had this conversation. So Heidi and I were at a mastermind. We were in Puerto Rico, and the first night we got to go out for dinner. And Heidi was across the table from me. And I said, what do you do? And she told me what she did. She's like a crazy entrepreneur with a huge membership site and all this value she gives her clients. But she's like, but can I tell you what I really like want to do and contribute to this world? And I was like, yes. And we started to talk about education with this passion and entrepreneurial fanaticism that I mean in the highest degree of complementarity, because this really, we were like, this is my life's work. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And unlike so many of these entrepreneurial bright lights, you're still talking about this 2 years later. And not only are you talking about it, but you are actually putting shovel to ground and you are building a school. Can you share with people what happens when an entrepreneur builds a school? What is it that you're building?
So what we're building looks nothing like the current model. We're actually starting with a blank white slate. We have this incredible design collaboration team. They're a pinch me team that very much so divinely was guided, and they're extremely diverse, extremely innovative, and they're taking the vision and the concepts that I have and up-leveling it. We're coming in and they're saying, why do we even have this schedule? Why is this not self-directed? Why do students not have autonomy? Like, they have to have it coming out into the world. Let's have a opening part of the day and a closing part of the day. And we have certain targets. But outside of that, students can really co-create their experience. And that's just one small example of what our design team is bringing to the table. So our first, we're physical schools with a virtual presence. So our first physical school opens August of 2022. It'll actually be here in the beautiful island of Puerto Rico where I live. We will be opening schools throughout the U.S. though. And then we're looking at India as our first kind of overseas country, and then going from there. Now, we will also be an online school. So students can either roll in and out of physical school and online school. So let's say they go to a physical school, but their family wants to spend the summer in Europe, or they want to travel to Asia for a month or something like that. Students can roll right into the online program, or students can participate strictly in the online program. And the online program for first through fourth grade is actually guided homeschool, because one thing that we've learned that we knew, but we actually pretty much everybody woke up to it during this pandemic, was that having kids that are fourth grade or below in online school is totally ineffective. Sitting them in front of a computer all day.
No.
Opposite.
For everybody. It's ineffective for everybody.
Yeah, for everybody. Yeah. And so especially for that age group. So that's actually guided homeschool. And then the fifth through 12th grade, it is online school, but online school doesn't mean sit in front of your computer all day. That's not what that looks like. It looks very different. It's project-based learning. It's very experiential, you know, sort of thing. But it is less guided by the parents, although they can be more involved, but they have the option to be less involved versus the first through fourth grade. They have to be highly involved because it is just a version of homeschool. And so really that's what we're up to. The model looks nothing like we do today. We're even getting rid of all the terms. Like, we don't really have teachers. We have guides. We don't have classrooms. We don't have, you know, we don't have any of the things that you think of today. Grades are, I mean, we only really have grades from the perspective is of that we're federally mandated to. But once students walk through the doors of our school, we don't really care about what grade we're in. We care about them as a whole child and where they're at in different areas and guiding them to get to the end result that we want to get to by the time they graduate. And so we're, instead of calling it high school, we're actually calling it Crowning Academy. So they're literally crowned with what they need to live an extraordinary life. And so we're creating a vision of all of the things that they have, all of the life skills, all of the financial skills, the emotional intelligence, the racial consciousness, all of the academics, like everything that they should have by the time they graduate, they need to have. And then the pathway to get there is going to be custom tailored to each student, and they're going to go at different paces. There's going to be times where certain students, like if you're a parent that has more than one child, most likely your children are moving at different levels at different times. And so there are certain areas they're moving really quickly. They're maybe becoming really strong readers, let's say. Other ones are becoming really strong in other areas really fast. And then there's other areas that they're just moving slower in. That is natural. That is human. We are not standardized humans. And therefore, having standardized education doesn't make any sense. The only reason we created standardized education was because we needed standardized factory workers. It was to weed out people who couldn't become this very specific thing that we needed them to become, because that's, you know, what the country needed at that time, what the world needed at that time. And so what we need now is the polar opposite of that. We need to use every single person's greatest gifts, strengths, to make our world a better place. Like, imagine a planet where every single human being was using their natural talents and abilities in living their best life. They were loving what they did. They were passionate about it. They excelled naturally at it. Like, what a different planet that we would have. How much happier we'd be. How much more, you know, all of the problems that we would solve. And my belief is that at any given time, we actually have all of the talents that we need on the planet to solve all of our challenges. The problem is we're not utilizing them. We've got, you know, people just living in jobs that they hate or grinding it out. We've got maybe a person, you know, a little girl that would have all the natural abilities and the desire and the passions to say, save the bees, but she's living somewhere where she's getting a very antiquated education and is being, you know, put into a very specific role that, you know, she'll never be able to do that. Or we have some, you know, buddy, a man living in the prison system in America that would have had all of the natural strengths and abilities and the passion and drive to make some huge impact on, say, climate change or, you know, whatever it was, or some develop some amazing technology that's going to make all of our lives better and easier, but we're not tapping into that talent. And so we're designing a model that taps into the talent, that sees the child as a whole and complete child. And we're there to just foster their growth and help them learn their greatest strengths and abilities and give them all of the life skills, everything that they need to go out and live an extraordinary life, their best life.
I am loving this. And so I want to address the questions that I know are sitting in people's minds, which is how do we take your model and integrate it into the requirements that individuals have as they step into the world? So notwithstanding the life skills this gives them, but the requirements they would need to access university, for example, or the requirements that they need, you mentioned federally, that they need from government to acknowledge the equivalency of high school. How do you handle those pieces?
Yeah, so our design collaboration team we're starting with the end in mind. So where do we need to get them to? And then although it's a self-guided journey, there are key performance factors along that journey that they're hitting to make sure that we're going to get them to the end goal, right? So they're going to move at different paces, but we're going to make sure that they have everything that they need. So whether they want to be entrepreneur, they want to be a surgeon, they want to go to Harvard, they want to be a poet, like an artist, like wherever it is that they're headed. And the reality is they're not headed to one destination. The reality is they're headed to the next step upon graduation.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the next step and then the next step and the next step. And their life is going to look very like it's just going to be a beautiful flow of different things. Because that's the world that we're in. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up in a home where my parents essentially worked the same jobs. They were union workers for my mom for the state, my dad for the power company for 40 some years, and then they retired. And they're the last generation to have lives that look like that.
Yes.
This next generation. The other piece to that is we're not treating kids like, okay, when you graduate, then your life starts. We're actually saying this is your life, live it fully. So our students will have everything they need to start businesses while they're in school. And some of them will create highly profitable businesses while they're in school. They can start nonprofits. We, like, for example, one of the educators on our design team that was working in a very, very innovative program. One of his students had 5 patents before he graduated from high school. Another student had a business, online business that was making over $100,000 a year. You know, another group of students actually started a nonprofit that they ran. They started in junior high, ran it through high school, and then they went on to other things. But that nonprofit still exists today and is actually a quite large organization that was literally started by junior high kids. So when you put kids in an environment and you really treat them as the whole, complete, brilliant human beings, and you create an environment where they can explore and play and try things and they're not afraid to fail, and you know, you've got these bumpers set up, that is the time for them to be innovating and trying really cool things and doing things. You know, we're not saying when you graduate, then you can start a business, then you can go to college, then you can become this or that. Like, you can start that right away. And then as they're doing that, they're learning, and they're learning in a way that they're actually lit up and excited about it. So you're not sitting in a class saying, here's algebra, which, you know, you may or may not ever use depending upon who you are and where you go, but it's a key, you know, it's a thing that we have on the list of things that you have to learn, and they're not at all connected to that algebra or to that geometry or whatever it is. But when they're working on a project that they're super passionate about and they have to know some math and some this and problem solving and all of these different things in order to fulfill on the project that they're working on and that they're lit up and passionate about, learning those things then is fun for them. They're like, yeah, bring it on. Like, I need to learn this in order to do that. Just kind of like, you know, most of your listeners, I think, are entrepreneurs. For your business, you didn't sit down and say, okay, let's see, I've got to learn how to make work an email service provider. I've got to learn about shopping carts. I have to learn how to build a website. I have to learn. Like, what you did is you said, I have this idea. I have this business I want to launch. And then in order to fulfill that, you're like, oh, wait, I need a website. Okay, I'll figure that out. Oh, wait, I need an email service provider. Okay, I'll figure that out. Like, you just learned those things as part of fulfilling on this bigger thing, which is this business that you're passionate about.
This is so exciting to me because, and you use this example in schools of the relevancy of the curriculum. I remember when I was in probably grade 11, we number our grades here in Canada, I was in an actual algebra class, which is why this your story triggered this memory for me. And I remember putting I was so frustrated with it. I thought I was the kid who didn't like math. I subsequently realized that wasn't true. But I put my hand up and I was like, why are we learning this? And not to be sort of the jerk student, but I was like, I need a bigger context because this is so abstract for me. It's like, it's completely irrelevant to the things I'm interested in. I remember my teacher just clear as day looking at me saying, Megan, if you want to become an astronaut, you're going to have to know these things. And I was like, but I don't want to be an astronaut. In fact, most people in this room aren't going to be an astronaut. And it was the first time in my life where I was like, oh my gosh, we're paying all this money. I was in a private school at this point for a just-in-case education, as opposed to educating us on the things that matter. And fast forward to where I'm at now, I've spent the last 12 years working with patients one-on-one. And as part of that process, they bring in their intake form. And on their intake form, we ask them their most significant sources of stress, because this is like the gasoline on the fire of their health. And the two number one sources of stress for adults are, well, there's three, but the two primary ones end up being their sources of stress in life are their health itself, their finances, and the third one are their relationships. And those, ironically, are three categories that are completely omitted from a standard school curriculum. So I'm excited about what you're talking about, because these are the things that actually influence an individual's ability to have a successful life, no matter how you define it. That wasn't a question.
Yes.
It was just like totally underscoring the importance and vision of what it is that you are building.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm glad you brought that up. We're actually doing deep financial intelligence, and not just, we're not teaching to like financial literacy. Literally, they have to do it. The reason that it's not that they have to, they pass a test that they're financially literate. That's not how our schools work. It's because you did it that proves that you know how to do it. So you will have a checking and savings account. You will have made at least $10,000 of your own money. You will have, you will have gone through simulations where you rented an apartment, you bought a car, you bought a house, you understand the difference between amortized interest and regular interest. You've like all of that, like you've actually done that either in real life or through a simulation. And we've given you, of course, all of the tools necessary. So even if they're coming from a home that, because this is the number one thing that I hear. So just because you have listeners that are probably thinking this. But what about the students that are from homes that there's no way that that student can make, you know, $10,000 because their parents are living in poverty, they have no support at home, you know, et cetera. And the answer is because we're going to give them everything they need in the school. So we're creating a totally equitable environment where students show up at our door inequitable, either from there's abuses at home, there's socioeconomic issues, racial issues, like whatever the inequities are, they show up with all of them at our doorstep. Once they come through our doors, though, we create an equitable environment where every single student can succeed. And they're getting not just like the finances and all of those kind of what I call like more of a traditional life skills, but they're also getting deep relationship skills, communication skills, how to work in community, how to, have really healthy relationships, how to take care of their mental well-being, their emotional well-being, their physical well-being. They're getting fed incredibly healthy food and are part of that process and, you know, all of that. So that regardless of what's happening in their home life, they're in an environment where they are getting everything they need to live a truly extraordinary life, including the main things that you brought up, those relationship skills, the happiness with their career, and that they know by the time they graduate that they can make more than enough money to live at peace, you know, like a really abundant life. They're at peace. They're not financially stressed, and they have enough financial intelligence to know what to do with that money, how to save it, how to spend it, how to protect it, like how to invest it, like all of those things. And they know how to take care of their mental and emotional well-being as well, because they've actually done it. Like they will have been doing that for their entire time with us. They will have been taking care of their mental and emotional well-being through our guidance and through our the tools and everything that we provide to them.
How are families who don't have the financial means going to be able to access the school?
Yeah, so the majority of our schools will be free public charter schools. Our first school is a private school. We're calling it an independent school simply because the paperwork and the red tape, we just couldn't.
And you have to start somewhere.
We had to start somewhere.
Yeah,
exactly. However, we are giving a significant amount of scholarships away. So our first year we'll do probably about 15% full scholarship students, and we're going to work our way up to a 1-for-1 model. So any private schools that we have will be, for every full tuition student, there will be a full scholarship student. And then the majority of our schools will be free, you know, public charter schools. And so they're federally funded, but then we are supplementing the federal funds with private funds simply because we're doing full on programming that in free food and just lots of things that just require a lot of money. So they will all be supplemented. And so kids that show up with nothing, it's okay. You're literally going to eat 3 healthy meals and 2 snacks for free. You're going to have all of your supplies, you're going to have your full education, all of the support you need, after school enrichment programs free of charge, before school enrichment programs free of charge, like everything you need to thrive, regardless if your parents have any money or not.
So exciting. If we were to compare the sort of, I'm going to call it self-study, student-guided curriculum that you're creating, how would it compare to a model that I think people are maybe more familiar with, something like Montessori?
Yeah, it compares really well to Montessori. In fact, I'm also starting as a separate, so this is Illuminated Life School. So illuminatedlifeschool.org, that is a nonprofit organization. It will forever be a nonprofit organization. And we're running that basically kind of like a nonprofit franchise, in that we're empowering innovative, passionate educators, entrepreneurs to open up schools following our model in their area. So all of the major programs that have tried to do reform, a big flaw with them is they're speaking from on high. You know, they're right. Coming out and saying, you know, we're going to spend a gajillion dollars, we're going to speak from on high, and And we're doing the complete opposite approach. We're doing bottom up. And so, because if you're in, say, in the south side of Chicago, you have a very different set of facts than you do in, say, La Jolla, California, right? And you have a different student body, you have a different family base, like everything is different. And so, although we have a model that they follow within, they're going to be able to move and groove within that model in a way that really works for them in that localized area. And those founders, and so that's how we stay small but grow big at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. So we have HQ that I run, the virtual headquarters, and then which is basically Illuminated Life School Network. And then each school, each Illuminated Life School, is its own school. It has its own board, it has its own founders, and then we support them. Now, getting back to your question on Montessori, where I'm also starting a for-profit organization that is just that. So it's ages 0 to 6, and it is a wonder learning play-based Montessori concept it is going to be a for-profit franchise company. And however, the two things that are going to be very different about it is we're doing this kind of a new way to look at Montessori. And so it's Montessori based, but we're pulling in these other elements that, you know, have been proven to be incredibly effective. And then making it, because one issue with Montessori is parents will send them like one Montessori school is amazing and then the next one's not that great. So we're doing it in such a way that if you go to an Illuminated Life Montessori, whether you send your kid to the one in Texas or the one in Washington or the one in, you know, India or Canada or wherever, you know, they're getting a certain level of care, right? Like you can count on it being a really high quality program. It might be customized still to that area and that set of needs for that area, but it's high level of programming. The other thing that's incredibly different about it is we're going to make it affordable to every single family. And I have a very unique plan that I'm rolling out to do that. So our franchise owners are going to make good livings. They're going to be able to pay their staff really good wages. And it's affordable to every single family because of the way that we're funding it is very unique.
Honey, this is so exciting. I mean, you know, I live in Canada. We have a different model here. But I think ultimately, the goals and life skills that an individual needs here or in the United States or in Puerto Rico or in India, these are universal skills that help individuals succeed and be their best. So, I mean, this is what makes this so incredibly interesting. If we're talking about this from a super practical level, so my practical state right now is we've got kids moving in and out of school because we've got this little global situation happening. We have parents who are homeschooling at home. Is there curriculum and guidance that you have available right now to help support families who are currently engaged in hybrid homeschool scenarios?
I unfortunately don't. If I had a crystal ball, I would have been 2 years ahead of where we are right now so that we could be rolling out a program for homeschools and micro schools and pod schools, you know, et cetera. Unfortunately, we don't. And we looked at, like, could we put something together quickly, but it was going to kind of derail everything so much and take so much bandwidth that we just decided let's stick to our plan. And so we're going to stick to our plan, but we will have something when we open up the first physical school in August of 2022, we will have some online programming available at that time.
And so at that time, and listen, like you can't pivot what you've been working on for years because a pandemic happened and you had 2 weeks notice. So I totally get it. I think what's going to happen is people are going to listen to this and they're like, how do I get my kid involved right now? So, and I'm one of those people. So to that end, if in 2 years I wanted to pull my kids out of school and we were going to travel around the world, is this the opportunity where I would be able to engage them in your curriculum, engage them in your virtual school, and they would still have a capacity to continue to move forward with their learning while we traveled? Is that the type of scenario that is going to be matched to what you're building?
Yes, that's exactly the scenario that's going to be matched to what we're building. That is it. That's what we're building.
Check. Yes. So my travel plans are set.
Yes. Because then students, you know, worldwide can plug into Illuminated Life School. They can plug in to, you know, the online programming. When I say online, I don't mean your kid sits in front of a computer. I mean, it all is online, and then you facilitate it, you know, with your students. So absolutely, that's really what we're going for. And then we'll open physical schools as rapidly as we can, because that is important to have them available. Not every family is in a position where doing a homeschool or a blend of virtual and homeschool sort of thing is going to work for them. We'll have that available for the families that do, and then we'll have physical schools, you know, eventually worldwide. And the thing that I'm most excited about too, about physical schools worldwide, is your kid could actually roll in and out of different physical schools as well. You know, like if you're going to spend half the year in one part of the world and half the year in another part of the world, they wouldn't have to strictly do the online program as long as there was an Illuminated Life school in both those areas.
It's really, really cool. And what is so obvious from this conversation is this is not some idea you just kind of hashed out. You have thought of so many different elements. Can you share with people what the main tenets of the school are? Because we were talking about racial awareness and integration. We're talking about health. We're talking about the financial pieces. Do you have some core pillars that sort of underscore and inform the areas that you expose kids to?
Yes, absolutely. So one of our core tenets is we are project-based learning. So I don't have the exact percentages yet. We're still in the design process, but roughly, you know, 80% of the curriculum will be on the project-based learning model, and then 20% will be just because it's things that we just need to make sure that they know, right? And so they may not come up in the projects that they're working on. So that's one of our core tenets. Another core tenets is that students very much are self-directed and have a lot of autonomy. So they have a lot of say in what they do. And it's student-centered, which means that I see you. I see you is one of our core tenets, where when students walk through the door, they feel incredibly seen, heard, acknowledged, valued, and their experience is going to be based on them as a human, as a whole, complete human, with what they need at that time, what they need in the future, where they're at mentally, emotionally, you know, like all of the things. So there's absolutely nothing standardized about it. It is, I see you. And so they come through the door, they are seen, valued, and heard as that whole child and catered, you know, in that. And then, you know, the other core tenet is that they are getting this whole child experience, in that it's everything from deep, you know, health education, emotional intelligence, healthy food. They do yoga every morning and journaling and goal setting and kind of all this, tons of personal development we have baked into it, in addition to the academics. And one question that I get asked a lot that your listeners might be thinking is, how do you get all this done in a day and not have like ridiculously long school days? And here's the answer to that. The only reason that your kids are in school for so many hours every day and learning so little is because they're taught in an incredibly inefficient way. When you actually teach students in a highly efficient way that's based on their specific learning style and how their brains work, and you're meeting them wherever they're at on that particular day, they will learn so much more information way quicker, way deeper. And so you have plenty of time for all of this other stuff. And it all gets baked in together in a beautiful experience, right? It's not like segmented where you're doing 42 minutes of math and then you're doing 42 minutes of science and you're doing, which that in and of itself is highly inefficient. That actually fosters ADD. It's really bad for our brains. It's just, you know, and so that's not what that looks like. It's all cohesive environment. And then the other big tenet is we don't label students. So now they'll come, you know, they'll come in with whatever and like we'll acknowledge what's going on for them, of course, fully acknowledge it. We can have their files, you know, whatever. But in our care, they have no labels. Because a child, and those of you that are parents, I think will resonate the most with this. Whatever your child is today might be different tomorrow, next week, next month, but they're ever growing and evolving. So when we give them a label, which most students unfortunately have now, it's depending upon what study you look at. I mean, it's like roughly like 80% of students are labeled, which is just like asinine. If you tell them your ADD or your da 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 or your da 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 da, they live into that label. And the reality is, they just have a specific set of needs today. They will have a different set of needs next week and next month, and they should. Like, they're ever growing human beings. So the only label that we have for them is brilliant superstar. You're a brilliant superstar. Oh my gosh. You know, you bring so much amazingness to this world. How can I help guide you? What can we do to, like, we are in service of our students and unleashing their amazingness.
I love this. Heidi, you're not an educator by background. Is that true?
I am not an educator by background. Yeah. So I am an entrepreneur. And what I'm bringing to the table is just that, the innovative thinking. So I have a team of amazing educators. I don't build curriculum. I'm not designing, you know, that's not my role in this. My role in this is blowing up the existing system and creating a framework and a financial, you know, a way to be financially sustainable, and bringing in all of the partners and the resources and everything that we need to make this happen. And then in sourcing those highly innovative educators that are up for the challenge of making this happen. So there's been a lot of amazing educators that have tried, and some to different degrees of success. You know, some of the programs out there are decently successful to do really innovative things. And the biggest challenge that they've had, though, is that they're so locked into a system and they haven't been trained to really think outside the box. So although they know that it's broken and they want it to look very different, getting from where they are to it looking different is just a bridge that they haven't been able to build. And that's where I come in, is building that bridge and then just getting all of these innovative, incredibly intelligent, skilled people on board that are educators that are actually, you know, raising it up, and I'm giving them the bridge to, you know, walk over
and inviting them into a new box with lots of windows and yes, less structure. And I really like that, because you are already practicing what you preach, which is giving people an environment that naturally will enable them to thrive.
A quick note from our sponsor, Badass Fuel. 2 years ago, someone asked me what supplements I take to maintain my health, my energy, and my edge. And they were surprised that I only took 4 things consistently. For myself and my patients, there are 4 basics that support, at a foundational level, nearly every system in our body. In my quest for the highest quality ingredients and the easiest system for consistently incorporating supplementation into my routine, I formulated and manufactured my own line of foundational supplements. My intention with this line was first and foremost quality, but equally important was a system for taking and naming the support that eased the incorporation of supplements into your life. Trusted for myself and my patients, under the guidance of your own healthcare provider, I'm excited to invite you to check out our foundational product line, Badass Basics. You can learn more or order the products yourself by visiting www.badassfuel.com.
Heidi, I really am compelled by the model that you are moving forward and who you are as an entrepreneur, which is, I'm so interested in the fact that this is, you were not an educator approaching this. You are someone who is deeply passionate about disrupting the system, which is, I think, what entrepreneurs do best. And I think this is also a great time in the interview for us to transition to something that I call our KPI segment. And just like we have KPIs in our businesses, I believe we have them in our lives as well, which I'm sure you would agree on after the conversation we just had. So if you'll indulge me, I've got 5 rapid fire questions coming your way.
Let's do it.
All right. What's the most impactful book you've read in the last year?
Oh my gosh. So I read a lot. The most impactful book in this last year, maybe The Big Leap. Actually, I just reread that recently. So I read that probably a decade ago. But that is just getting over that upper limit. Cause that's really what we're up to, right? Is like, blow the lid off of it. Let's get rid of the upper limit. So I reread that this last year, which was just a great reminder of that.
What's the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
I eat really clean because I enjoy it. It's not like work for me to eat really clean. So that's where I'm most consistent.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Ooh.
I know everyone pauses, but I'm in my head, I'm like, this woman is so badass already. She's only disrupting the entire education system in North America. But besides that.
Well, especially this last year, this might be just partially like kind of divine intervention, but attracting in all the right people. My chief of staff was like, you're such a, you know, crazy good networker. And I'm like, I don't actually think that I am, but somehow I just attract in when we have a need. I just am able to, like, 2 weeks later have the solution or the perfect person, you know, like shows up on my lap. So I don't know that I'm like, it's necessarily a superpower that I am doing. It might, like I said, be more divinely guided, but that is something that I'm just somehow able to do.
I love it. Well, it's because you're so passionate about what you are doing. It's absolutely magnetic. What do you do for fun or play?
We love like snorkeling. We live here in Puerto Rico. I love going on hikes, especially with girlfriends, and my hubby too. And then my husband and I are foodies. And so we love going out to eat, which obviously we haven't been doing too much of in the last 5 months, but we do love eating. And then we also love to travel. So we are world travelers. We love just going on adventures throughout the planet.
Last question for you, Heidi. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think both. So I think like I was a born entrepreneur, and I think most highly successful entrepreneurs were born that way. However, people can learn to be an entrepreneur. So if they have an idea that they want to roll out, it is a skill that you can acquire. But I do think that a certain percent of the population are just born this way and they won't ever really succeed within an organization. They're a little bit unemployable.
I am unemployable. Yeah, I know that. I love that. I love that answer. You've covered all bases. Heidi, if and I know we do have people who are interested in learning more about what it is that you're up to, where can we send them?
Yes, please go to our website, which is illuminatedlifeschool.org. O-R-G, illuminatedlifeschool.org. You can jump on the email list, which gets you a monthly progress report. So every month you'll get an email with where we're at, what we're working on, where we're at in the process of getting this built out and what's going on. And then we also have a list in there of things that we need, like, hey, we need to be connected with somebody who does this, or we're hiring this, or, you know, whatever. And so it's a great way to also like, oh, I know somebody that they should connect with, or I know a vendor that, you know, they should buy from, or whatever the case is. So yeah, please go to our website and get that monthly progress report and spread it around.
Amazing. We will make sure everyone has access to that in our show notes. Heidi Decoe, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Megan.
I want to thank the sponsor of today's show, Badass Fuel. You can check out the back to school, back to life packages for parents at badassfuel.com. Badass Fuel is a line of pharmaceutical grade supplements to help support women in their most optimized state. One final thought I want to leave everyone with as we get back into the school year, as we head into what I refer to as adult new year. I want you to think back to your own school experience. What elements of that journey served you the most? Was it the social interaction? Was it math class? Was it that one teacher? If you were given the opportunity to create an education system and model from scratch, what key pieces do you feel would be most valuable? What is it about your experience in school that actually served your highest potential? One of the things that struck me as Heidi was speaking was this idea that our current education system, and most definitely the one I moved through, was a just-in-case model. We had a series of intellectual luggage bags and trunks that we filled with knowledge just in case we might need it. The elements that people seem to need most, the people who are sitting in my office, who are seeking my help with respect to the support of their health and optimizing their life. I mentioned in the episode there were three areas that most people feel the greatest amount of pressure on at this part of life. They feel stress related to their finances, related to their relationships, and related to health. Three areas that are blatantly and obviously left off the curriculum of our current education model. I would love to hear from you. If you could design any element of the education system, what would that look like? The conversation is continuing. I'd love to hear your ideas. We're all hanging out over in the Anthropology Collective. You can find us on Facebook by heading over to facebook.com/Anthropology Collective. I look forward to seeing all of you there and chatting with you guys again next Tuesday for the next episode of the Anthropology Podcast.